to be able to speak to you from the Word of God again. I'm going to start this evening in 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10. We're talking about the Queen of Sheba here, and in the days of Solomon, and she's off in her own land. A lot of people think that it's Palestine, and I'm sure that there's probably some diligent study behind it. I've not studied it myself, but regardless of where she's from, she's heard in this far and distant land of the wisdom and the greatness and the wonders of King Solomon. And in 1 Kings chapter 10, beginning at verse 1, we read, "And when the queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold, and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all of her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her." She came with kind of this sense of she was somebody. And she was going to show up, this King Solomon. She'd heard all these great things, and she was going to go find out for herself. And she brought along all the riches and all the good things that she had. And she was going to ask him all these hard questions and see just how smart that he was. And when she found out that everything that she heard was true, we read, there was no more spirit in her. She was kind of settled back down to where she ought to be, put in her place, you might say. In verse 6, she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." She saw everything that she had heard was true, but then she says, and then some. She says, the half wasn't told me. As a mean of background, I want to turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I think that in a lot of different aspects that the half is not being told people today. The half is not being told people. The writer of Ecclesiastes is a very wise individual. A lot of people think that it's Solomon. I'm sure that it possibly could be, but we don't know for certain. But regardless, he goes through and he talks about, all throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, all these things that he's tried out. And none of them work. They all end up vanity. None of them compare to the greatness of God. And he gets down to Ecclesiastes 12 in the very end of the chapter, the very end of the writing. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, the writer says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." This is the end of all this reasoning, all the attempts to find out what's better than God or what's comparable to God. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole of man, or the whole duty of man. This is the reason that we exist on this earth, to fear God and to keep His commandments." And we need to consider some points here. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5, if you will. Romans chapter 5. Some points to consider in thinking about that. The first of which, we're going to look at four different things. All of us are going to die. Unless Christ comes to this earth first, all of us are going to die. Romans 5 and verse 12. We read, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by men, and so death by sin, excuse me, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now, there are groups out here that read that and they say, well, this one man, and we know this to be Adam, one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, So that's what we call original sin. But if we read it again, it's very clear, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. Why? For that all have sinned. It's that simple. We're not talking about original sin. But what we're looking at in this verse is that each and every one of us will die because we have sinned in this context. We're going to die. And if you turn over to James chapter 4, I want to look at something else over there, another bit of scripture. In today's paper, Sunday paper, in the obituary section, there were 14 names listed. Excuse me, 16 names listed. And I kind of have to wonder, as I read through those, how many of those people do you think planned on dying today? How many of them do you think expected their name to be in the Sunday paper today? Probably none of them. But they all died. And we're all going to die. And that's something that we've got to keep in mind. James chapter 4 and verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Doesn't that sound like us sometimes? We make all these grandiose plans and we're going to go here and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. What does he say in verse 14? Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? That's a question that every one of us need to ask ourselves. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, or do this, or do that. That's how we need to be. If the Lord will, we'll do it. If the Lord let us, we'll do this, or we'll do that. Our life is relatively short. We don't know when we're going to die. But we do know that we will all die. The second thing I want to consider is that all of us will be raised. Turn over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 28, we read, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in their graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation or condemnation. All of us are going to be raised. And it's not going to be, I'm afraid, the way a lot of people think, of this rapture, that the good people are going to disappear and their clothes, there's just going to be a pile of clothes here and a pile of clothes there from where they left. They were just taken away from us and all the bad people are still here. That's not what we read in the Bible. What we read in the Bible is that the good and the evil will be raised at the same hour. Some shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. We will all be raised, and we will all be raised at the same time. That is, those who are dead. And when we're looking at this, I also want to make mention that death is not the end. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Death is not the end. Though we will all die, we will all be raised. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. That is, they are dead. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me, also as one born out of due time. That is Paul. For I am the least of all apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. And he's not bragging here. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? This is what these people were talking about. They had this idea that there isn't going to be a resurrection. And Paul's saying, yes, there is going to be a resurrection. If Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you, in verse 12, that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. You're believing this to no avail if Christ isn't raised, and if there is no resurrection. In verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead not rise. Rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead. He is risen. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man, that's Adam, came death, by man also, that's Christ, came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end. Death is not the end. We die, then we're raised. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. When is that? When he delivers the kingdom to God. After the resurrection. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible man must put on incorruption, and this mortal man must put on immortality. We will be raised. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4 with me. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. We read, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's not to say that there's not an order that this happens. The dead will rise first. Then the rest of us. There is an order. But it's not going to be this idea that a lot of folks have today about this rapture. All of us will die. We will all be raised, and we will all be judged. If you turn over to John chapter 12. We read in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. We die, we're raised, and we will be judged. John chapter 12 and verse 48. He that rejecteth me, this is Christ speaking, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. That's what Christ has said to us. The commandments of Christ are the commandments of God, given to him from the Father. And those are the things that are going to judge us. What else is going to judge us? Turn over to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. There are thousands of criminals in this country and around the world every year that escape judgment. They're not caught, they're not persecuted, and they're therefore not judged. That's not going to happen with us. That's not going to happen with any human being when it comes to any kind of a spiritual, from a spiritual standpoint. We will all be judged. Revelation 20 and verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. According to their works. They were judged according to their response. We just read that we're judged according to the word of Christ. And when we put these verses together, we put together all the things that we know about judgment, we know that we're going to be judged about, we're going to be judged by our receptivity of the gospel. Whether or not we chose to obey the gospel. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell, or the grave, or Hades. Death and hell, or the grave, delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's a pretty strong incentive to be found written in the book of life, isn't it? You know, back there in Ecclesiastes, we read, fear God and keep His commandments as the whole of man. What's our incentive for doing that? Do we need an incentive? We shouldn't, if we're claiming to be real Christians, we shouldn't need any kind of incentive. But He's given us two pretty good ones. We can either choose heaven or we can choose hell. We can choose an everlasting life with God or an everlasting torment. Back in John chapter 5, we read about how we're all going to be raised, the good to the resurrection of the dead, the good to the resurrection of life. How? They're going to be raised through judgment into the resurrection of life. And the evil are going to be raised through judgment to the resurrection of condemnation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, verses 9 and 10, we read, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, that is, present or absent from the Lord, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We're going to be judged by the way we choose to obey the gospel. We can choose to obey some of it. We can choose to obey all of it. It's optional. That's what we're going to talk about in a minute. Obedience to the gospel of Christ is optional for all of us. But know this, all of us will be rewarded. All of us will be rewarded. Revelation 21, if you're still there. Revelation 21, beginning at verse 1. And I saw a new heaven. This is John writing here. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Isn't that what we want? And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write these words, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. Christ is that water of life. That life-giving water. Remember the woman by the well? He'll give that to us freely. In verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Isn't that what we're really looking for? Isn't that our incentive to fear God and to keep His commandments? 2 Peter chapter 2 tells us the flip side of that. That's the reward that we're looking for. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12 we read, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. It's still a reward. even though it's that reward of unrighteousness. It's not a reward that we want, but that's the consequence. That's the reward. They shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are in blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. We can understand that, can't we? That's a reward that we really don't want. You forget to pay your phone bill, you get a reward. It's not the reward you want. You caught speeding, you get a reward for that. It's not a desirable reward, but it's the reward. And I'm afraid that the half is not being told people today about that. Half of the people, more than half of the people, aren't getting the half of what spirituality, what heaven and hell, what God is all about. People aren't hearing about hell in many cases. Turn back over there to John chapter 5. You remember the Queen of Sheba? She came and she saw all this glory and the wisdom of Solomon. She said, the half was not told me. And that leaves the implication that half was told her. Today, people aren't even getting half of the truth. People are being told, just believe. Just believe and just accept Jesus into your heart. Or just do whatever your parents did. We'll call it a tradition. There's words, there's verses in the Bible about tradition. Just take the traditions of your parents, that's fine. They're just doing what their grandparents did, what their parents did, what their great-grandparents did, blah, blah, blah. How long can we take that back? You know how it is to line people up in a line. You get 10 or 12 people in a line and you say something into the ear of the first person. By the time it gets to the other end, it's something totally different. We can't work off of that kind of tradition. A lot of people are being told to do or believe just whatever you want. The half is not being told people. People need to hear the word, and it's up to us to deliver that word to them. People need to know what God expects of humans, of each and every one of us. God wants us to fear Him and to keep His commandments. We're created for that purpose, to fear Him and to keep His commandments. And we need to, because we're all going to die, because we're all going to be raised, we're all going to be judged, and we're all going to be rewarded. None of that is optional. What is optional is whether or not we choose to obey the gospel. John chapter 5 and verse 25. Jesus says, actually go back to verse 24. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Down in verse 28, we read a minute ago, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice. That's not what He's talking about in verse 25. In verse 25, He says, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead, that is the spiritually dead, the people who won't listen, who won't hear, they're spiritually dead. But listen to what He says. When the dead, that is the spiritually dead, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, when they choose to listen, and they that hear shall live. We've got to hear the gospel in order to obey it, don't we? We've got to hear it and we've got to believe it. John 6, 28 and 29. What is that? That tells us about the people, the folks that came to Him and to Jesus, and they said, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent. We've got to hear it. We've got to believe it. And in order for other people to hear it and to believe it, we've got to be able to present it to them. Jesus said in John 8 and 24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am He, that is the I Am, that is the Messiah that these people have been looking for, For if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. People have got to understand that they must believe. Acts 17 and verse 30, we read this morning that God commands men everywhere to repent. Matthew 10 and verse 32 and 33, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. And it was Jesus in Mark 16 and verse 16 that said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Turn over to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 with me. What about when you've done all those things? Those things are optional. This one goes right along with those though. Matthew 24 beginning at verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? He's given him a job to do. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him a ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he's not aware. You remember how he's going to come? We read it twice a little bit ago, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. He's going to come in an hour when he's not looking for his master, in an hour that he's not aware of. In verse 51, I shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Is that the reward we're looking for? I don't think anybody in here would say that it is. We've got to hear, we've got to believe, we've got to repent, we've got to confess, we've got to be baptized, and we've got to live faithfully, as we just pointed out. And we've got to, as Christians, be able to tell people that. We've got to convey that message to them. It's the grandest message that we can tell anybody. It's the message of Christ. It's the message of how to get to heaven. You don't have to do any of that to receive a reward. You're going to get a reward. You do have to get it to receive that reward of righteousness. What is that reward of righteousness? Turn back over to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. Beginning at verse 9. But let's see. And there came unto me one of seven angels which had the seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the 12 gates, 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, an angel. And the building of a wall was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Can you imagine a gold that pure? Can you imagine seeing these things that John's writing about? The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. You remember the pearly gates? The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Can you imagine seeing that? John, in this context, is describing us, if you remember back in verse 10, how did that angel take him? The angel carried me away in the Spirit. He's talking about spiritual things, but he can't describe them with spiritual things because we can't comprehend spiritual things. He's describing this city in a way that we can understand it, the most precious things in this world that we have, gold and precious stones. He's describing it in a way that we can understand it as to the value of those things. He can't describe the real greatness of it because we wouldn't understand it. But we've got to use these precious things to describe it. You know, the reward of unrighteousness is described the same way. We can't understand some of the things that how hell is described to us, can we? Outer darkness. Can you comprehend that? Outer darkness. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Eternal flame. Torment. Eternal fire. Brimstone. A lake that's on fire. Can you comprehend that? Can you understand that? I can't. But we can understand that it's a place that we don't want to be. And I think we can all understand that we'd all much rather be in heaven. So many things that I think we're not going to be able to understand until we get there. Turn back over to 1 Kings chapter 10. First Kings chapter 10. Queen of Sheba, she came and she saw the greatness and the glory and the wisdom of Solomon. Verse 4, when the queen had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and the house he built, the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She said unto the king, it was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came. Mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. I wonder if we'll say the same kind of thing when we get to heaven. The half was not told us. We're not going to be able to comprehend that until we get there and we see it through spiritual eyes. But I want to take note of what the writer says in verse 8. He goes on to say, happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants. It's more than just the things that she saw that Solomon had. It's the love and the admiration that his servants had for Solomon. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Is that the kind of respect that we have for God? To stand and to listen to the things that God has said for us to do? The wisdom that God wants to impart into each and every one of us through His Word? These people who were in a literal place on this earth, they were happy to stand and to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. They enjoyed being in his presence and hearing him and serving him. And that's how each and every one of us need to be right now to our God, who's been so great to us to give us all the things that we have in this life. If we've done all those optional things, those things that it's really up to you whether or not you do them, to hear, to believe, to repent, to confess, and to be baptized, and to live faithfully. If you've done all those things, are you doing enough? Can you do more? Can I do more? Each and every one of us need to ask ourselves that. Is there more work that I can do? If you haven't done those things, and we would encourage you to do them tonight, if you've heard the Word and you've believed it, then repent of your sins and confess Jesus as the Christ. Confess Him as the Son of God. and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And go on living faithfully to receive that reward in heaven, that reward of righteousness. Jesus is that living water. He's told us. And we can reach that living water. If there's any way we can help you to do that, let us know as we sing this song.